So hello everyone and welcome to the INSS podcast. We are broadcasting from the 12th annual conference in Tel Aviv. And with us now is Dr. Ilham Maner, who is of dual nationalities, Yemeni and Swiss. She's an associate professor at the Political Science Institute at the University of Zurich and is an independent consultant for Swiss agencies and a member of the Swiss Federal Commission for Women Affairs. And she specializes in the Arab Middle East. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
So we are speaking on the heels of your very interesting panel at the conference entitled The Arab World, What They See in Us Versus What We See. And you spoke about many things during the panel, but I want to ask you about a specific issue which I know that you publish on and didn't receive any coverage in the panel itself, which is women in the Arab world. Essentially, I'd like to ask you how Arab countries see Israel from the gender prism. What is the situation of Arab women in Israel in comparison perhaps to Arab women elsewhere in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when it comes to perception from the Arab region towards Israel, there's a lot of misconception, okay? But I would put it this way. If there's something that seems to be coming across is that the situation of women in general in Israel is better.
Better than...
than the situation that we are basically facing in the Arab context. Those who are specialized, on the other hand, okay, and do research will realize that the issue is complicated. Look at family laws and you realize we have here in Israel legal pluralism. Mm-hmm. And that means each religious community has its own family law. And these family laws are religious. And they tend to all to be patriarchal. And they tend to make life of women very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I see in that no difference between Jewish women or Muslim women, with all due respect, mm-hmm. okay, when it comes to the rights in the family yes. sphere. Come closer and look at the situation of Arab women. And you realize that they may be actually going through what I called in another book, Women in Sharia Law, The Impact of Legal Pluralism, the dual discrimination syndrome. What do I mean with that?
Yes.
On the one hand, they're stuck in their own close communities, okay, certain patriarchal structures, norms and values that put them at a lower level.
Definitely.
On the other hand, they are within a whole society and system that may be treating them as second-class citizen. Okay? You know, so you see a certain kind, or not really, I'll put it this way, because I understand Israel has its very positive sides, okay? But when it comes to the Arab minority, one realizes there are differences and one cannot basically ignore that. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, the double syndrome, double discrimination syndrome, I would describe it is something that Arab Israeli women may be facing.
Do you think that the state should interfere in internal Arab cultural aspects regarding
No, what I think is basically is what the Israeli government right now is the approach is very accurate, and that is basically focusing and allocating a lot of budget into empowering women economically. Mm-hmm. And one sees that, whether the Bedouin and others, it's like I realize there are certain kind of like systematic efforts to allocate money for their education, for their training, for their empowerment. That's a very important approach.
So maybe things are being done, but there's more that can be done, perhaps.
And at the same time, another question, because that is a very important question that you mentioned when it comes to the family laws.
Yeah.
So because it's, from my perspective, and I gave yesterday a talk at the Middle Eastern Studies Center in cooperation with the Gender Studies Center in Tel Aviv University. You cannot look at the family laws for of Muslim women in separation of the family laws of other communities.
Uh-huh.
And that would mean that if we are going to seek an approach, it has to be a citizenship approach, mm-hmm. one that seek the establishment and anchoring of the concept of civil marriage, mm-hmm. you know, with all the rights that are attached to it, mm-hmm. and that allows intermarriage uh-huh. across religious lines. But you know, this is a very, very difficult issue,
of course.
Very sensitive issue. But from my perspective, if Israel is to become a real normal state, you know, fully democratic, as we see in other countries, in Switzerland, for instance, then it's just basically, that would be the step that I would expect.
So perhaps on that note, connected and disconnected, my next question is regarding the perhaps willingness of women in the Arab world to work with Israeli women, and I'll elaborate. I'm a member of a group called Forum Dvora, Women in Policy and National Security, Foreign Policy and National Security. And what we try to do essentially is help one another, empower one another, and I think Israeli society is no different to other societies where the security scene and the foreign policy scene is dominated by men. And I'm wondering, firstly, in the Arab world, if similar organizations to Forum Dvora exist, and if here in Israel we are very interested in cooperating with women from the Arab world who also are in foreign policy and national security and finding common ground, if women from the Arab world will be willing to cooperate with us here in Israel under an Israeli mm-hmm. identity, and especially in the security mm-hmm. scene, which mm-hmm. I understand is very sensitive.
I don't have names in my mind, but yes, there are a network of professional women working together within the region. That said, I'm not really sure there is one that is that would be equivalent to your organization, specifically working in the foreign affairs and security affairs. Now, working together.
Yes, the willingness.
The willingness. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm sure there is willingness. I've been talking with, you know, when I write, I get responses.
And perhaps this is the place to say that you are exceptional in your willingness and openness to come to Israel, and you're publishing a series of articles about Israel and Israeli society. So I'm sure you also get feedback regarding that.
Yes, and the feedback is, how should I say? It's very mixed. On the one hand, you have those who are—they consider me like a traitor, someone who sold her soul. Okay, I have the impression they haven't read the articles, because I think I was very fair in the manner that I addressed the issues. While I'm talking about positive sides, I'm talking also about the problems. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about it from a perspective that Israel is a state that has the right to exist, mm-hmm. okay? And that there are problems and we have to deal with it. And I'm not going to play a game around these issues, mm-hmm. okay? But while we're doing that, let's just engage rather than basically stop talking to each other and throw each other with whatever what we have in our hands, and complicating a very almost helpless situation. Okay, so from that perspective, we have this side. The other side, I had actually, that's what made me hopeful. I had
hope. We need hope.
And we need hope. We really need hope for this region, you know. I had reaction from intellectuals, well known, you know, writing to me, I wish I had your courage.
Wow.
I wish, because the issue is for them is basically they will be defamed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I knew. It's like if I'm gonna come here, as I did last year with my husband Thomas, mm-hmm. we came as tourists. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like lying. Okay, but at the same time, it's also you take a risk while hoping that if you remain true to yourself, people were recognized, maybe this is the path that we have to take.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the path, because it's at the end of
it's
the day.
It's not an easy path. Maybe that's also why not many people are taking it, but it's probably the path to take. Yeah.
But there are people who actually would love to. The problem that we have, for instance, let's just talk about countries that has peace relationship with Israel.
Yeah.
One realizes you have two discourses, you know. One is official, behind the scene, everything is good, we love each other, we're working to each other, we have common enemies. Discreet. And then on the other hand, anyone from the civil society level who tries to cross that bridge, you know, ends up with problems with the security apparatus, and that double kind of like tongue is very problematic. I tend to believe in the long run people will be tired of this lack of prospect. You know, we will be tired, you know, and we need hope, and we need a future. And I don't think it will be possible to do it without having a common one. And let's just do it together.
So I think that's a brilliant note to end on. And unfortunately, we ran out of time. I could speak to you another hour, but unfortunately, that's all we have time for. So I thank you so much for joining us on the show. And I urge you to follow on the INSS website and find more podcasts from the conference.